Should DeAndre Swift be the first pick in rookie drafts? How good is Chuba Hubbard? And who will be this year's surprise? We're talking running back prospects on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome back to RotoViz Radio, brought to you by MyBookie and Untuckit. I'm Dave Cabin, Senior Fantasy Analyst at RotoViz, joined by the Editor-in-Chief of Fantasy Labs, part of the Action Network, Mr. Matthew Friedman. What's going on, Matt?
Not much. Looking through my Dynasty rookie rankings, getting ready to talk about these running backs.
Nice. So we talked about quarterback prospects last episode. For me, I think running back is the most fun position to talk about as we evaluate prospects prior to the draft. As of now, who is your RB1? Is it DeAndre Swift?
Yeah, I think so. He's, very solid, super young. I think as we're recording this, he's still 20. So going to be 21 years old as a rookie. He has pretty good size, 215 pounds, five-star recruit, was productive for multiple seasons at Georgia, which has a history of identifying strong running backs and developing them into NFL caliber players. So a lot to like about him. If you wanted to make an argument for some of the other guys, namely Jonathan Taylor or J.K. Dobbins or Travis Etienne, I would be fine with that. Like, I understand the cases for all of those guys, and some of this really just might depend on landing spot and the amount of usage we think any of these guys is likely to get in year one.
Yep. To add some perspective to this, in his junior season, had a rushing yards market share of 50%, had 44% of the attempts, did get involved as a receiver, 24 receptions as a senior, 32 as a sophomore, averaged 6.24 yards per carry in his last season, 6.44 the season prior to that. So like Matt said, he does kind of fit into that really solid profile that we've seen now from a number of the Georgia backs. I think that when all is said and done prior to the draft, he'll probably be my number one, but time will tell. Before we get to the rest of the prospects, quick reminder, head to rotoviz.com/podcasts to get a 10% off discount on a year-long RotoViz subscription. We will have you covered with so much information on all of these prospects, so you definitely don't want to miss out on that. And also, your time is really running out to get in on that NFL action in the playoffs and the Super Bowl, so definitely head to mybookie.ag. Take advantage of all of the props that they're going to have, the variety of sports, so many different things to bet on at MyBookie. It's just as important where you place your bets as the actual bets that you make. MyBookie is the place that I play at. Great customer service, quick payouts, and again, just so many different things to bet on. You'll always have fun with MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. You mentioned Jonathan Taylor, who I'm sure a number of people will end up with as their highest ranked running back prospect, if not their number one 2020 prospect overall, running back from Wisconsin. What do you like about him?
Well, he was super productive for three straight seasons. Some people are kind of using that against him. Like, he got so many carries that he's not going to be able to function the way that you would want him to in the NFL. The wear is worn, or not the wear. What is it? The tire. Yeah.
A lot of tread on the tires.
Yes, the tread on the tires. It's worn. Yes. We're just going to.
Although, actually, I think it's, people say a lot of tread on the, but don't you actually want tread? So there's not a lot of tread on the tires. Maybe that's the expression.
Obviously, like the tread is worn. So, there's less rubber on the tires for him. Now, I mean, we're killing it here. So anyway, some people are holding that against him, but I honestly don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, you look at guys like Derrick Henry, like, they've just been doing it forever. And you know, on an old study by Fantasy Douche back in the day, you know, he found that it's like, there are very few things that are correlated for running backs between college and NFL. You know, guys who actually have, I mean, this is going to sound like really obvious, but guys who just have a ton of yards in college end up having, you know, a ton of yards in the NFL, more or less. Like, there's the correlation there. And then yardage is correlated with the number of carries and receptions that a guy gets. So, I'm not really too worried about it. He's not a great pass catcher, but he did get significantly better, or at least they used him more in his junior season. So I think that at least answers some of the concerns with him as well.
Yeah. A 2,000 yard season in 2018, 19, and that was only on 12 games, 1,900 in 2019. In terms of touchdowns, 15 in 2018, 21 touchdowns, which I'm sure some people will love in his junior season. You know, it's a pretty impressive body of work that you have to point to there. Behind Taylor, and I didn't do these necessarily in order of how it seems like players are being viewed, because I didn't want to kind of like bias what you're kind of like, I wanted to be able to react to what your opinion is on these guys, if you will. Perhaps my favorite name in this draft, Chuba Hubbard. And I actually believe that some people are starting to kind of get behind him. I don't know how much is of that is the name. Where are you on Chuba?
Yeah, I think it's actually Chuba.
Okay, Chuba.
But I might be
wrong. I don't like it as much then.
Right, but I might be wrong on that. But
okay.
Yeah, a lot to like about him. 21 years old. So like he has the youth, but then also, he's only played two seasons because he's a redshirt sophomore. So like you could maybe like that from the perspective of like, oh, he has fewer carries on his body, you know, like if you're into that sort of stuff. So, pretty good receiving back as well. And you know, reported to be a good athlete too. You know, 6'1", 207 pounds. So he has pretty good size. I like him quite a bit. I have him in my top 12, you know, like overall in rookie rankings, and you know, 21 years old. I mean, there are so many 21-year-old running backs in this class that it's kind of unbelievable. But yeah, he's one of those guys, and I think he offers a lot of value, and I would expect him to be a lead back one day.
Yeah, and another player with impressive touchdown and rushing accumulation in his final college season, 1,936 yards and 21 touchdowns. So another player that I think will become pretty popular. Also, he really was responsible for the overwhelming majority of backfield work at Oklahoma State, 77% of rushing attempts in 2019, something that we always like to see. Cam Akers out of Florida State, a player that had a lot of hype very early on in his career as FSU kind of trended downwards. I think that hype surrounding him kind of disappeared a little bit. I think he's still a fairly big name, but I don't think he's one of those players that's going to be real high on draft boards heading into 2020. Where is he for you? Middle of the road? Does he find his way into the top of your board?
Yeah, I actually still like him. Still in the top 12 of, you know, rookie dynasty rankings for me. And for, you know, a lot of the same reasons as these other guys. He's 21. He was productive in college. He came into college, you know, with, you know, like a 4 or 5 star pedigree. He didn't really do anything in college to make you think that he can't be a lead back in the NFL. Had 30 receptions in his junior season, you know, for 2019.
Yep.
There's like, I don't look at his profile and see anything that is like blatantly wrong with it. Like, I don't know why anyone would actually be low on him.
So I think why people could be low on him is just going back to the expectations that might have been set up for him that then perhaps he didn't live up to. Of course, if you look at the numbers and you don't know that, they're still pretty strong. But the thing that you should keep in mind with Cam Akers is his freshman season, 1,024 yards, 7 rushing touchdowns on just 194 rushing attempts. that season, a pretty tumultuous season at Florida State. 2018, just 706 yards. A key thing there is they probably had the worst offensive line in the entire country. I'm not talking Power 5 conferences, probably the worst offensive line in the entire country. There's a number of times where they had players playing that honestly probably shouldn't even been playing, like on JUCO teams. It was that bad. And then you see a bit of a rebound in 2019, back to 1,144 yards, 14 touchdowns on 231 attempts. But what I'm saying here is if you're looking purely at the numbers, there's going to be some context there that is lost. That's not to say that I think Cam Akers is by and large, you know, one of the top backs in this class, but I think that he's a lot better than people might be giving him credit for that are unaware of those circumstances.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Ever see an untucked button down? They look bad. Why? Because they weren't meant to be worn that way. Thankfully, there's Untuck It, the original button down shirt, actually designed to be worn untucked. No matter your size or shape, Untuck It shirts always fall at the perfect untucked length. With more than 50 plus fit combinations, Untuck It shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. Untuck It fits your frame, no matter what your size is, as they are custom to you. Choose from styles like wrinkle-free button-downs, super soft flannels, outerwear, and more. With Untuck It, your shirts will never look baggy, bulgy, too long, or too big again. And their website is so easy to use, they have a whole page devoted to helping you find your fit. So whether you're shopping for the perfect gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuck It is the way to go. Visit untuckit.com and use the code BLUE for 20% off at checkout. That's untuckit.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off. Okay, Travis Etienne, currently playing in the national championship game, is actually, I don't know if I can say that, but I think he was playing.
Yeah.
Okay, as we record this, another player that's very high on people's draft boards, where's he fall for you?
Yeah, I think he's in the mix for like the number one overall spot. It just depends on like when sorting between DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, Travis Etienne, and J.K. Dobbins, I think a lot of it is just going to come down to draft position and landing spot slash opportunity. So he's right in there with those guys. 21 years old, has decent size, 5'10", 210 pounds. So, you know, like nothing to dislike about him from that perspective. Came into college with, you know, a high recruiting profile. I don't pay too much attention to touchdowns because that's, you know, just kind of random. But even though he wasn't like really the lead back for Clemson in his first year, his freshman year, he split carries basically evenly with Tavian Feaster. And then Kelly Bryant was actually like the main guy who was getting a lot of the rushing workload, even though he was the quarterback. So even though like Etienne wasn't really like a lead runner as a freshman, he still led the team with 13 rushing touchdowns and then totally took over the backfield in 2018 and 2019. And especially in 19, really developed as a receiver, or showed rather what he could do right as a pass catcher. 32 receptions, 396 receiving yards, 4 touchdowns. You know, I think he's a complete 3-down back.
Yeah. And to that touchdown total that you mentioned, 58 total touchdowns. Of course, playing for Clemson helps. You're also going to see, if you look at his numbers, 1,658 yards in 15 games as a sophomore, 1,513 as a junior, 7.96 yards per carry on his career. Of course, I think playing at Clemson certainly helps with that. But if you are looking at the body of work, it's really hard to deny that. So we've gone through, I think, the top three players that people are going to be talking about. Another pretty big name, J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State. I kind of like him as well. Maybe not as much as those top three, but another intriguing name in what's shaping up to be a very deep class.
Yeah, I think some people probably will have him as their number one runner, at least entering the draft. But, you know, for me, the big difference between the three that you mentioned and Dobbins is that they're all a year younger. And, you know, that matters for running backs just in terms of NFL longevity. And it matters in terms of kind of calibrating what it was that they did in college. And, you know, like obviously Rotoviz has done a lot of work on this, but, you know, similar production between a 22-year-old and a 21-year-old always emphasizes the 21-year-old. So, you know, that said, Dobbins isn't quite as impressive in comparison to those other guys, but there's still a lot to like about him. And he was a 3-year workhorse who, you know, really owned the backfield for Ohio State, and especially in his 2019 junior season, you know, really flashed as a runner. And he's always had, you know, like at a minimum, like decent receiving capabilities. So, I mean, there's really nothing to dislike about so many of the runners in this class. It's just going to come down to what is their draft status and what's their landing spot.
For sure. I mean, just to put things in perspective here with Dobbins, 1,400 yards in 2017, 1,018, 1,829 in 19, and 42 total touchdowns. So we're looking at a class where this guy on some lists could be ranked number 4 with that type of body of work, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. This is, I mean, like, it's a blanket statement. Everyone kind of knows this, but I mean, this is the class to have, like, late first rounders and early second rounders. Like, those are the guys you want, because in a lot of other years, they could be drafted in the top 6.
Right. You know, it's kind of like that class that had Barkley, Chubb, and Geis, but do you think this class could be better?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, absolutely. It's I'm going to get like my years mixed up. I'll just say that I know that. But was it like, was 2007 like the awesome running back year?
I think I can't remember if it was 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right here.
Yeah. So anyway, like one of those classes, it's the one that is before.
Isn't the
it's,
one with,
it's 2000, with it's 2008. Jamal Charles? It's 2008.
Okay, 2008.
Like the Matt Forte year, where there were like so many guys drafted in the first 3 rounds at the running back position. It is, I think, a class that is on par with that. And then on top of that, you have layered on this awesome wide receiver class, which I think probably doesn't surpass, but like rivals the 2014 wide receiver class. Like,
which is absurd.
Yeah. Like, this is just like a bounty of rookie magnificence. So like, this is the year to load up on rookie picks.
All right. Before we kind of talk about that, maybe not just in the rookie pick context, but I want to talk about startups there quickly. But AJ Dillon, I think another name worth mentioning from Boston College, another guy, just tremendous college production, 40 total touchdowns as a freshman, nearly 1,600 rushing yards, 11,018, over 1,600 again in 2019. Really impressive body of work for him as well. Not quite as strong as some of the other names we mentioned as a receiver.
Yeah, he offers almost nothing in the pass catching game. He's very like Derrick Henry or LeGarrette Blount. You know, like right now he's listed at 6 feet, 250 pounds. So like, you know, like he is a big boy. So like, you just have to see like what his actual size is and then what his athleticism is. But like, he is a true, like a true grinder. Like that's how he's going to be used. And, I will just be curious to see, how much the NFL values that, and how much, dynasty players value that, because I could see him going lower than he should.
Yep.
Just because he doesn't have the pass catching ability. And so like, in a way, like his flaw might make him more valuable in rookie drafts.
Right. Because I think that you can reach a situation where it doesn't really matter. Right. So it's like, if he was a 30%, 40% catch pass catcher, for a player like him, does that really matter? Probably not as much, because teams aren't going to be using him as a receiver to begin with. So really what's going to matter is if he finds a team where they want to just purely use his rushing ability, and then can he succeed in that area? Because it's not the type of player you're going to be looking at as like a Christian McCaffrey pick, you know, that type of player. So we know that. But what I did want to ask about was, with as good of a class as this 2020 class appears to be, do you think this creates a nice chance to pop into startups and forego rookies altogether? Because you know we're going to see a thing where people are really going to be intrigued to start loading up on these rookies.
Yeah, I don't know. Startup strategies is always interesting. And like, I have always kind of had the perspective, I say always, like I've done it twice, but like had the perspective that I don't mind loading up on older players, knowing that I might lose them within 2 to 3 years, and then trying to, and like the strategy for it is trading down in the startup draft. Yep. Knowing that some of the older players are going to slip and they might provide value. You can draft them at a discount. They provide value for like 1 to 3 years. They leave your team, but you can replace them with the extra rookie picks that you picked up while trading down. So that's the strategy that I kind of prefer the most. But yeah, I don't know. Like in startups, I don't know. I'm just trying to think about like so much of it is league dependent. And, you know, like if I do a startup, it would be like with people who are in the industry. And so like, it's just, it's a totally different mindset that you have to have when drafting with people who like really know what they're doing.
Yeah. That definitely kind of warps the, perspective that you might have. Any other running backs that I didn't mention that you're, pretty keen on?
Yeah, I mean, like there are two other 21-year-old running backs who have gotten hype at various points. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's playing in the national championship game for LSU. He's 21. You know, like he was very productive at LSU. Like we don't know yet if he's entering the draft, but my inclination is that he will. And you know, like, so didn't do much in his first two seasons, but, as a junior really came on, another guy, Eno Benjamin is 21.
Right.
And, he had a pretty good career at Arizona State, especially in his second and third seasons, you know, like really coming on as the lead back and had, I believe like 77 receptions, in his two final seasons. So like he can get it done as a pass catcher. And then, like the sign of how deep this class is that we haven't even mentioned an Alabama running back yet, which like in a normal year, it's like, oh, who's the Alabama running back coming out this year? Who's going to be a lead back? And it might be Najee Harris, who like we don't. I'm not sure if he's actually declared, but most of these Alabama backs, you know, leave as soon as they can. You know, he was a part timer in his first two seasons. But he entered with, you know, a lot of recruiting hype. And, as a junior, he was the guy, had over 1500 scrimmage yards and 20 touchdowns, 22 years old. So like, he doesn't have like quite the shine that some of these other guys have, but 6'2", 230 pounds, like, I mean, it's not hard to imagine him being an NFL lead back at some point. Those are the three guys, that we haven't talked about yet that I like the most.
Yep. It's still unclear. The last that I heard about Harris, it doesn't look like it looks more like he's going to return to Alabama, than declare, but I don't think that it's official. So, you know, who knows? It's interesting too. You know, I think if you're trying to get in the perspective of one of these players in such a deep class, if you know that, it's kind of like a risk to go back and do the next year. But, you know, what if you do go back to school and then you end up going a round or two higher than you would have? It's got to be a really tough decision to make.
Yeah. I mean, I think you just come out. You come out as soon as you can, because like, why? And more guys are getting this mentality. Like, why put all of that extra stress on your body for nothing, basically? Like for no payment. And you know that if you come out now, yeah, maybe you drop a little bit, but like maybe you don't. And I think most of these guys have the mentality that they can, like, they're competitive, that like they can beat the other guys that they will be in competition with for the position. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, better to get paid than basically be like an indentured servant for another year.
Yeah, and risk so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I completely get these guys that leave early. I think if I weren't in that position, that's probably what I would do too. Any final names that you wanted to mention?
No, I mean, like, one more guy who's gotten some hype is Zach Moss from Utah, who I believe, let me just type him in really quick. Yeah, like, he was a lead back starting his sophomore year, and he's a big-bodied guy, was never really, like, super dynamic as a pass catcher, but was functional, and is just, like, that bruising, you know, like, 5'10", 222 pounds, like, Robert Turbin-esque, like, type of player, and, like, that doesn't sound all that great, but, you can imagine, like, a world where he's an older but still decent, like, Alexander Mattison. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
he could be functional as a number two back who maybe gets a chance to become a lead back.
I feel like Moss is the type of player who, as we get closer to the draft, I'm gonna, like, end up really liking. But time will tell. And of course, as we mentioned before, all of this is going to change when we find out these players' speed scores.
Yeah.
Even though speed score really steered me wrong on Devin Singletary, something we'll talk about summer.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone was wrong about Devin Singletary except for maybe like a few people. And I feel like those people, even though they were right about Singletary, they are wrong on so many other players because of their process.
Yeah. All right. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better. But we will talk about Devin Singletary probably further down the line because we still have a very exciting wide receiver class to talk about. And then we have tight ends. The other thing, Matt, I have been meaning to make a sound effect drop of incorporating many times that you say a big bodied back. And maybe I'll add in some type of homage to the SEC in there as well. So listeners can look forward to that. Someday it's coming.
Yeah. And you got to mention Alabama too.
Right. Yes. Yes. Of course.
I mean, because Derrick Henry is, you know, I wouldn't say he's the original big bodied Alabama back. Like Mark Ingram is maybe the original there. Of course, like original in the present day, you could go back to Sean Alexander as, you know, like someone who's maybe the original there. But Derrick Henry is the prototype.
Yeah. Did Trent Richardson classify for you as a big bodied? I don't think he would have made the cutoff.
Oh, yeah. 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 He was like 215, 220, like, okay. when he entered the league, like, he counted.
So wait, though, where is your cutoff for big bodied?
Oh,
okay. Yeah, I guess Trent Richardson was 228.
Well, I think that might have, I would need to sort of like go back into the database and look at this. Yep. Like, I don't know if Trent Richardson was 228 when he was entering the league. Like, I think that might have been after a few seasons, but
okay. Yep.
Let me check this out. Great radio, by the way. No, yeah, 5'9", 228. He was definitely thick.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, big-bodied Alabama backs, nothing better. But we will be back next week. Thanks for listening. As always, you can reach us at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at MattFTheOracle. Thanks to MyBookie and Untuckit for sponsoring the show. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And as always, remember, it's not a fantasy if you believe it.